JG 2. Number 5B.
All right, that's good. See, we begin to question rather than just taking for granted that there was that realm with, and it just was blank without any four. We try to begin to see then that this level of science itself, then we could call it supra-scientific, couldn't we? As Max shows us, it's really therefore above really the methodology of science, but as we know, it includes it. It operates definitely scientifically. Therefore, it is super scientific, but it actually is above the methodology of science, and yet it operates according to law, order, rules, system, method, form, and plan. It's science itself. It's through science and past the methodology of science to the realm of science itself. We're being really where Mrs. Eddy, under where she talks about spiritual mathematics, she says that it shows us, therefore, that being has to do with mathematics, showing really that this science goes through science and past science into science itself, showing that this spiritual science operates with mathematical certainty, she says in Science and Health on 108, line 13. So she refers to this subject as spiritual mathematics, and certainly we can see that this level of science itself and its law is operating with mathematical certainty in the realm of science itself, but it doesn't need to explain itself to itself. Do we see? I think that's clear. Good. Therefore, it's supra-scientific. Therefore, as we were seeing last evening, this level is free of the irrational, isn't it? We've gone from the irrational, really, through the rational. It's free of being rational. It's free of human reasoning. And therefore, this level is irrational. We have gone from the irrational through the rational. And when we arrive at this level in standpoint and practice, it is irrational. It doesn't require thinking. Mind doesn't think, as we know, it knows. So at this point, we in the ascending way, where we have dropped metaphysics, where it's a human mind thinking, and we identify ourselves, therefore, on divine science as I mind, I spirit, I soul, I principle, I life, I truth, I love, where the whole question of the is there a separation between the ego mind and the ego man, we say no, because Mrs. Eddy said that mind and its idea is one, and this one is mind. There's only the one ego mind under consideration on divine science, so all duality has been resolved on the divine science level, and consciousness enters the realm and atmosphere of science itself as the one ego infinitely being. It's just that standpoint of experiencing mind. It's just mind. This level is just mind. Being its own infinite mind. Therefore, that mind, and that's an experience, it isn't a thinking process, mind being its own infinite mind, that mind is all-knowing, all-hearing, all-seeing, and it's just the experience of mind being all-knowing. So it's the experience of it, not the explaining of it. It's a being of it. All right? And that is irrational. Okay, good. So now we take a look at that term, therefore, principle itself on page 60 of the tonality of the levels. This is here to help us build up the tone of the level. And now, how would we define principle on this level? What does principle mean? Instead of just taking it as a term, principle, how would we define the place value of the term principle on this level? Principle appears on, well, certainly on the level of divine science and on the level of Christian science. It appears on other levels. What is the place value of the meaning of principle on this level, would we say? Yes? Yes, Ellen? Yes, it's equated with science in itself. Therefore, meaning what we found out about science itself. What can we bring about
system or structure?
Okay. Now, how does principle express itself on this level? Yes, it's operating as. It's a principle, therefore you want to define it as system and structure, okay. How else? That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's that fundamental law, Dick, which is really, as we saw, the comprehensive law, isn't it? And by comprehensive law, what does that mean, Dick? If something is comprehensive, what's implied by it? Okay, good. So Dick shows us, therefore, that on this level, principle is the comprehensive law, or is Ellen said, structure, if you like, or science, if you like, yes, which, as Dick says, includes all other laws, or as Ellen says, includes all other sciences, or includes all other principles, doesn't it? It makes it really the principle of all principles. It makes it the origin of the science that includes all sciences. That's why on this level we see that principle includes its infinite idea. That is it. Infinite fixed principle that includes its infinite idea, and by that we mean it's an infinite fixed principle that includes, as you said, Dick said, all laws. It includes all principles. It includes all sciences. So it's the principle of all principles, the science of all science, the law of all laws are included within it. Good. We hear it, that tone, don't we? And then Mrs. Eddy said about principle on this level, she says that it includes all other terms, doesn't she? She indicates that principle includes all other terms, so therefore that principle on this level includes within itself its nature as mind, its nature as spirit, its nature is soul, its nature is principle, life, truth, and love. That's already included within it. So we don't have to have mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love on this level, do we? That just by the term infinite principle, we know that it means that it includes all other synonyms, she says. So this principle is a very comprehensive, all-inclusive symbol here. It's a supra-symbol. It's a supra-principle, we would say.
Which leads to the great matrix of 7x7.
Right, right. That will be the law, won't it, Dick?
Yes.
We can certainly see that that is, then becomes that matrix of infinity. And immortality, as we'll see, and that we even here in the world today, through the work of Boehm, and to a degree Prebram, where they allude to the fact through their implicate and explicate order that there is some way, an implicate order, somehow they feel that there's this great matrix, and they call it an invisible matrix behind being, that from what all the explicate order comes from, you see. So all the creativity and everything that happens in the world is coming from some implicate order, some invisible matrix. And so that's right, that this law, therefore, of the level of science itself is having within itself this matrix, yes, that includes everything, that matrix of immortality, that womb of immortality, which we'll see as the law of the level of science itself, that includes everything. Actually, as I mentioned last evening, that is really the womb for the new birth, huh? Everything comes from that matrix of immortality. And as we flow from the levels, you'll see that we'll try to always hold to our flow of how all, everything is coming out of that matrix of immortality, that when mind is operating out of itself, it's that mind is coming out of the matrix of immortality, of God's nature as mine. Spirit is operating out of that matrix of immortality. Soul is operating out of that matrix of immortality. Principle, life, truth, and love are operating out of that matrix of immortality, out of themselves, through themselves, as themselves, in the glory of themselves in divine science. So yes, it is the fundamental, comprehensive matrix or womb from which everything springs forth. Yes. That's good, Dick. That does give a good tonality there. All right? That's very good. So, therefore, we see that it's called an infinite principle or an infinite one. We certainly see why it's the one, don't we? Because it's all-inclusive. That one means, of course, single or only. By itself. What does the term infinite mean? That term infinite, when we think of infinite, do we think of a long line that goes straight off into infinity? How would we think of infinite, Dave?
Yeah, infinite in quality, rather than space or time or linear.
Okay.
Inclusive.
All right, so Dave can see definitely infinite means in quality. It would be boundless in quality. It would be infinite in quality. Okay, uh-huh. Mary Jane?
Just say it has no limits of any kind.
No, that, good, good. It's completely unlimited, all right? There are no limits. It's not circumscribed in any way, is it, Mary Jane? No. Good. So it's without limit, Francis?
Infinite individuality.
Yes, it's infinite in individuality. Okay, now, yes, it's infinite in quality. It's infinite in all the qualities of God. It's infinite in the infinite individuality of God. Dave indicated about time and space. It's infinite insofar as it's always omnipresent. It isn't working in a space realm. It's working in an isness realm. It's always present. It's infinite in its isness. It's omnipresent. It's infinite in presence, if you wanted to call it that way. It's infinite as applied to time means that it's has neither a beginning nor an end. As Mrs. Eddy shows on that science level when she talks about it, she says the infinite has no beginning or no end. It's the only. Now, talking a little bit more about infinite, when we think of infinite, do we think of a long line? No. How do you think about it, infinite, when?
Now. Hmm? Right now.
Okay, it's now, so you don't see the line. Okay, and is that now a little dot? I'm just talking for symbols. You just see it here and now as being. Good. Now, is that somebody else raised a hand for when I asked about if they saw a long line. Any other?
See the glow.
Okay. So you see somehow, Mary Jane says she doesn't see a line. She sees more of a globe or a sphere. And what does that mean to you, maybe, Mary Jane, if you don't see a line. Wynn says sees infinite just in the now, in isness of being. Mary Jane says, I see more of a sphere. What do you mean maybe by that?
A sphere is self-contained.
Uh-huh.
Something is within it.
Okay.
Something outside of
it. All right. What makes that sense of infinite, therefore, yes, it is. That principle includes its own infinite idea. What makes it self-contained there? We have to borrow a little bit from divine science to maybe explain infinite? It's a circle. That's what Mary Jane, yes, Dave?
Interreflection, all the ideas are interreflecting.
Uh-huh.
So interreflection. 7x7 reflection.
Yes. Yeah. Good. And when something always is infinite in reflection, that's good. That makes it infinite because it's always reflecting. And when you get just symbols. If we don't see the line and we see more of a sphere, which is just a state of consciousness, as Wynn says, here and now. David says that it is always reflecting on itself. When we get something that's always reflecting on itself, what does that do to a sphere, Dave? Does it stay a sphere?
It's boundless.
It's boundless? What does she say? It spirals. Dick is doing this behind you. It's spiraling higher and higher. A sphere, which is always changing a little bit, huh, is always in a self-reflection, begins to spiral higher and higher from a boundless basis. And so therefore, but these are just symbols for us to be able to somehow get a sense that that level of science itself is infinite. It is operative. It's operative in its infinite sense insofar as it is its isness. But as Dave writes, said, it's a law of self-reflection, which means it's always reflecting like a kaleidoscope, always new, always new, always new, and therefore because it's always new, you get another little movement, and it makes it spiral. Fractals in the world, we're not going to discuss fractals this year, we'll leave it to another time, but they restructure themselves always infinitely, and a fractal starts out showing a triangle, and that triangle reproduces another triangle, which reproduces another triangle, which reproduces another triangle, and it just reproduces and reproduces and reproduces through the law of self-similarity infinitely. It always just has another little, when it reproduces itself, it's always new, and that always new makes it infinite, see? So that's very good.
Could you say infinite depth?
Infinite in space. Well, I think it's what we said. That's a sense of space. It was more infinite, as Wynn was saying, in omnipresence, in just being. Don't think that the sense of space and depth and all there. It's much more a state of, you were not concerned about depth. We're concerned about that this is just an always new experience that is spiraling us into ever new experiences. It's not a question of, there's no time or space in consciousness. It's just being. And therefore we lose the sense of a here or a there. As Max already showed in the 7,000 year period, that all time periods come to an end already in the 7,000 year period and space periods. We just start now reasoning and realizing what infinitude might mean in its ever present isness. And yet with something, the NESS on is gives it activity. The law of self-reflection always varying itself gives activity. What is it like in that state of consciousness which is ever-present but always new? And that means that being is here and now. As Jesus always said in the Bible said, Beloved, now are ye the sons of God. And Jesus always said, Behold, the field is already white with harvest. It's at a state of isness in consciousness, but it's an awareness that never repeats itself. But there's no time and space.
I guess
or here and there.
And my reflection keeps going back and forth and seems to gain depth and more and more to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that happens, yes, but as long as one doesn't feel that there's a here and a there, huh?
I wonder if Francis is thinking of infinite capacity.
Uh-huh.
Infinite containment.
Yes.
Not really in space, but more in infinite reflection.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes, yes. I see. Infinite self-containment. Uh-huh. Yes, I see what you mean. Oh, mm-hmm. Yes?
I think we can use space with infinite, not as long as we realize that they're antithetical to one another. As we use the soul, for instance, the infinite within us, if we can comprehend it.
Yes. Uh-huh.
That's about the only way.
Yes.
You can use space in the sense of infinitude.
Infinite withinness. Uh-huh.
So.
Uh-huh. Daniel?
Wasn't it that all reflections exist simultaneously?
Yes. Yes. That's that sense that happens.
New reflection necessarily because that's time.
Uh-huh.
They all exist right now.
Right. Right. That's right. And that's a tonality of this level. Uh-huh. Very good.
No matter how infinite space you have, there's always a here and a there.
Uh-huh.
You know, some things are here and some things are there.
Uh-huh.
Space.
Uh-huh.
Connotes.
Yes, it's
separation.
Yes, it does. It's better to get more of that sense of omnipresence or isness or that is happening in that law of self-reflection is that level of science itself has gone through science and past science, the realm of being itself. It's an awareness that isn't a here or a there. It's an awareness that is constantly spiraling higher and higher from a boundless basis. It's a terrific experience, but not in time or space. No, it's just an awareness. That gets rid of that whole sense of dimensions that aren't known, as we seem to suffer from on this level of experience, that there's a here and a there, those that are here and those that have gone on. See, all that breaks down. And where Mrs. Eddy says about Absolute Christian Science, when we can teach mortals that they don't have to die, we will reproduce those who have gone on. And certainly Jesus to Lazarus said, Lazarus, come forth, come out of your belief of the Adam dream, that you were born into time and space, born into matter, you live in matter, you grow old in matter and are circumscribed within that realm of the fourth dimensional space-time continuum. Come out of that into this realm where there is no a here and a there. Huh? That all breaks down. So that's why we want to, within our consciousness, be able to somehow get rid of that sense on this level that there are those here and those who have gone on, and there may always be realms that aren't, like Daniel was trying to say, instantaneously here or just right here, huh? In isness. So it's just training consciousness to see that there is an awareness of a wonderful awareness that is free, as Mary Jane said, unlimited, unbounded, without limit. This is a wonderful sense, just this concept of infinite. When we concept build with it, and then we begin to tonality build, and then consciousness build, and then being build with this concept. That is what we do in our own quietude. We in a class can only concept build together, talk about the letter. But to gain the spirit of it and the awareness of it, it's really a feeling of it on this level. You know, what's so wonderful about Mrs. Eddy's definition of science? She says, first of all, that science is the atmosphere of God. And then she says, science is knowledge reduced to law and embodied in a system. So this level of science itself gives us that atmosphere of God. It's that can't, as I said, it has gone through books and past books into just being itself. We can't write about it. We don't learn about it. It's just a being. It's an experience. It's an atmosphere. It's an isness. It's infinitely, according to the law of self, reflection, always new experience right here and now. Oh, it's wonderful. Okay, and in that state of consciousness, we know that error is unknown, matter is unknown, death is unknown, never comes up. It's just the state of awareness that is an infinite state of awareness. So really totally unbounded, totally free. I like what she says about this level, that the admittance to ourself that we're God's own likeness sets us free to master the infinite idea. So really, as we saw last night, we have gone through science and past science into being itself. We have gone from life to life. And really at this point, I feel life really begins for us as it's meant to be, not always at a correctional sense going on, but it's from this standpoint, life is really lived, where science and consciousness is one and this blends together in pure awareness. As we said, we have gone through music and past music in the realm of music itself, where we don't have to write music any longer, write out all the notes and tones, and then everybody is playing, you know, the various instruments. We go through that type of activity to just music itself, indication, I guess, of the music of the spheres. Or we go past the artist working in art and through it into art itself. Gee, you know, when Michelangelo passed away, just before he left, they say that on one of these TV programs that comes out of the BBC on art, they said that he was aware that all the art he did on this world, he had such a compassion for his art, as we know. He just threw himself into his sculpting. He just loved it with great compassion. Always wanted to be a sculptor, and the Pope always wanted him to do the painting on the Sistine Chapel. But whatever he is doing, his whole life was his art. But just before he passed, he somehow got a glimpse that there was something beyond that realm of the art he was doing, and kind of got a glimpse of that realm of art itself that went through his having to do it to actually experiencing it. It's quite interesting. He saw that sense that it was all symbols that he was doing when he was doing sculpting out the David or the Pietà or something like that, that there was a realm that he was going into that was beyond just having to do it. It was experiencing it, and he seemed to indicate it in his writings.